this Sunday, and I hope that you'll check out and get more information about that and commit to be a part of that. It'll be a great weekend for all the women of Trinity. And also, if you're new, stop at the welcome table and get, learn a little bit more about who we are and let us know who you are. So again, we welcome you to Trinity. Our desire each and every Sunday when you come to this place is that you will find a place where you can feel at home and where you come to find your home in Christ. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. So let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them. Say hello if you do. Hey.
Good morning. If you'll join us in singing our first song, Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Trusting you to protect us and alert to the blessings you bring each day into our lives. Just as we need your help, your strength, wisdom, and direction to get rid of our distractions.
we need your help to open our eyes to the good. You are a God of hope. We claim Romans 15:13 for ourselves. Fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in you, so that we may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I am, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I
as we turn to a time in prayer today, I thought we would take a moment to just give thanks. As I think about 60 years of Trinity and more to come, I think about the generations that have been a part of Trinity over those years. And so I want to take a moment to invite us to give thanks for those families who have been here for generations. So I need you to help me out here for just a little bit, and I'm going to invite you to stand as I say different things. So if you have been a part of Trinity, and your family has been here for at least two generations, so there are parents and there are children who are a part of Trinity, then I want to invite you to stand. Okay, now, if your family has been a part of Trinity, and it can be living or deceased, but if your family has been a part of Trinity for at least 3 generations, so there's grandparents, parents, and children, then I want you to remain standing and everybody else be seated. All right, and now if your family has been a part of Trinity for 4 generations, there have been 4 generations here at Trinity. Wonderful. We celebrate those families and the generations who have been a part of Trinity. It's a little hard for us to do all that research and figure out exactly who because of name changes, but let me share with you some of the names of those families who've been a part of Trinity for, I think, at least 3 generations. Peabody and Klein families, Wittstrux, Dominich Holt Haynes families, they're all intermarried there, Gretz family, Clayton family, Larimore family, Pavlik family, McDowell, Filmer, Lamont-Kalab, Monroe, and there are many others as well. So this morning we celebrate those who have been a part of Trinity for across the generations and for the witness and commitment that you all offer to others. So thank you. As we pray together, I know there are also concerns and joys that you all have on your hearts this morning, and we invite you especially to be in prayer for those folks who are listed on the screen. They are in special need of our care, either in the hospital or in some kind of specialized care. So as we go to God, let's spend a few moments in silent prayer together. Let's pray. God, we come this morning and we give you thanks. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Today we give thanks for a new start, for the start of a new school year, the start of the fall semester, even the start of a new football season. We give thanks for renewed friendships and the excitement of coming back together again after a summer of travels and play and time apart. Today we also give thanks for the start of a new season in the life of Trinity, new ministries, new energy, and a new commitment to follow you even more fully. God of all generations, we give thanks to you who have created all life. Open our eyes to the joys and gifts to be learned and shared from all generations. Open our eyes that we may know your life at each moment of our lives. We give you thanks for children who are curious and afraid and infectiously joyful, who are trusting receivers of your grace. We thank you, Lord, for teenagers who demonstrate courage and hope as they begin new adventures, for their fresh ideas and their energies. We thank you for those in the middle years of life, for those whose schedules are full and who have committed to work that is purposeful and meaningful, to engage in their communities and to pass on their faith to their children. We thank you for those who have grown older, for those in the shadow years of life. Oh God, we celebrate the joy that can only be seen through the eyes of those who are wise in their experience, whose stories of life and love can enrich all our lives. Guide our lives, Lord, so that in each stage of life, we recognize and cherish the joys and the sorrows, the strengths and the weaknesses, and the special presence of your Spirit. Not only in our own season of life, but in the lives of each other, young or old or in between. God of every good gift, we praise you and give you thanks for the seasons of life. open our eyes that we may see the uniqueness of every season and every generation and every person created and enfolded in your love. In the name of Christ, we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thy word is your name. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when I feel afraid, and I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. To my feet and a light unto my path. And I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. One more time. Thy is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
I've been serving as my mentor for 2 years, and the reason that I love it and keep coming back is because the children seem to appreciate something that seems like nothing that I do.
They appreciate it so much. There are so many people that have inspired me in the program because of their faith and because of the way they have behaved and their actions and their hard work. So it really has been a very positive influence.
Being a small mentor, you know, at first I thought 30 minutes, that's not going to be a whole lot. You know, just sit down, man. But more things have been accomplished sit down at a meal than anything else. And these young people enjoy having a meal with you, just talking about things that they want to talk about.
One thing I liked about my mentor is that he had a great sense of humor and that he listened to everything I said.
My mentor is smart because she taught me sign language. My mentor teaches me how to have a positive attitude. He always has a positive attitude. And he teaches me about respect and he teaches me to focus on school before doing anything.
Well, we were told to be encouragers, and I think that's kind of the heart of it, was to form a relationship with the student and encourage them.
Well, being a smile mentor just takes, for me, simple, a little bit of my time. It goes by so fast, I want more of it.
The need is, it's just 30 minutes out of your day, one day a week. And everyone has 30 minutes that they can spare.
In the life of Jesus, he was willing to share with the people. He was always there for them. And we can imitate his example, the way that we love people, knowing we try to share and give back, and not selfishly just want to do that to our families or our friends, but to someone we don't even know, that we can have an impact on their lives. That's encouraging to me. That's what I love about it.
Thank you, Mentor. Thank you, Mentor.
Thank you, Mentor.
Wow, what a big impact in such a small amount of time. So I want to encourage you all to think about being a smile mentor. 30 minutes of your time, once a week, just to sit and hang out with a kid who could really use your encouragement, your love, your conversation, your mentoring. I think Jackie and Clarence are here, yes? Jackie and Clarence, will y'all stand up? Two mentors with Smile, and any other mentors who are a part of Trinity who are here with us today. Thank you. Thank you. Really, a huge impact for a very small amount of time. So consider doing that, giving 30 minutes of your time once a week for the school year, and just think about those faces and the impact that your time and your commitment can have in the life of a child. Each week at Trinity, we offer our tithes and offerings, and one of the ministries that we support is faith ministry with our regular tithes and offerings. That is one of Trinity's ministries on the other side of town, and it is a ministry that we, through which we have an impact over there, and also through which we have an impact on each of our own lives here. It is, as the Lord is fond of saying, for the betterment of us all. So as you offer your gifts today, know that we appreciate you and the ways that you support all the ministries of Trinity. So let's pray together. Good and gracious God, you are the giver of every good gift. We thank you for your grace in our lives and for the ways that we can extend that love and grace to others. For the ways that you work in and through Trinity to have an impact on our community and beyond. So bless our tithes and our offerings today, and may they be multiplied and used to make an impact in this community, sharing the good news and the love of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
We bless you, Creator, Provider. We bless you, we bless you.
morning, Trinity. Wasn't it a great week last weekend? What a great Sunday we had. If you were not able to be here or if you are new to Trinity, I would encourage you to hop online and catch at least part of the service from last week because it really was a great celebration. And also, it will give you a sense of the wonderful and rich history of Trinity over the last 60 years and the ministry and the people that have been a part of this church. Today, we pivot. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking back and rejoicing in the present. And now today, we pivot and we look toward the future and have an opportunity to dream and to talk about where we go from here as a church out into the days and years ahead. As we get ready to do that this morning, I want to begin by reading a passage of Scripture that ties us back to our roots. And it's one that comes from the second chapter of Acts. Now, this is the passage that shows up right after the day of Pentecost. So that moment in time which we recognize as the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the church in those early days, right after that we hear about what the practices were of the early community of faith. And so let me invite you to follow along as I read from that section. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles, and all the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. And the Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words that I and others will speak today, that through them a word might come from you that lands in our hearts and shapes our lives for where you want to lead us in the future. Amen. So today you are going to have an opportunity to hear a little bit about a process and what came out of that process to create a vision for the future that we might share together as a church at this particular time in this particular community. And so I want to begin today by talking a little bit about the process. And for some of you, this may be brand new. For some of you, you may know bits and pieces, but today will be a chance to know a little bit more of the picture. So in April of 2018, so 16 months ago, a team was formed that was created through some careful discernment and thinking by the leadership and nominations team here at Trinity. A team was formed that would begin to work together in discerning and listening and praying and preparing for that future. Now, there were 12 people on that team initially. At one point in the process, one had to back away due to too many other things going on in their lives, and so we added an additional person. And then we were glad when the one who had to step back was able to step back in, and so we ended up with 13 total people. The makeup of that team is one that I think reflected the diversity of the congregation in a lot of ways. It was an equal number of women and men, so 7 women, 6 men on that team. There were 5 people who are in their 20s and 30s, 4 people in their 40s and 50s, and 4 people in their 60s and 70s who were a part of the team. So generationally, it represented almost all of us. And then part of the process also was to engage you and key members of our community beyond Trinity in conversation so that we had an opportunity, and all of the members of that vision team participated in this, doing both one-on-one and small group interviews as a way to listen What are your dreams? What are your hopes? What have we done well in the past, and what do we need to pay attention to now at this particular time? All of that work then began to help us move toward a vision or a product. And then you might remember that on St. Patrick's Day, we had one service, and then after the service, we had another conversation. And that was a point in time when the vision team wanted to say to you, the congregation, here's what we've heard you say, been saying so far. Are we on target? Have we heard you correctly? What have we missed? What do we still need to think about as we bring this process to conclusion? And so that was another helpful day for us in putting that all together. And then we continued the work. And then the final review of where all that ended up happened last month with both staff and with key leadership. So church council and our executive team all were part of the process of bringing it to conclusion. The result is a vision that includes an overarching vision statement that gives direction to where we go, and then also some key goals. You see on the screen right now the vision statement. Let me just invite you to read this with me. To be a courageous witness for Christ by welcoming all people, growing loving relationships, nurturing deeper faithfulness, and doing all the good we can in our community and beyond. So just a couple of things about that statement that I want to point out. One is, I love the fact that it is filled with action verbs. Because action verbs mean that we are going to be doing things. Welcoming, growing, nurturing, doing. Action verbs call us to put ourselves into the game and be a part of what is happening. I also love the fact, and it was one of our executive team members who pointed this out as we were having a conversation one night. I love the fact that we can read this as a community, and it can be a vision for us as a community. But what he noticed is that it also is a statement that can be a personal vision statement. For each of us individually, you can look at this statement and say, yes, that's who I want to be as a follower of Christ individually, as well as who we want to be as the people of Trinity. So then let me real quickly just share with you the four key goals that help support this vision and drive the work that we do together. So the first is to reimagine disciple-making by reaching and inspiring more people for Christ-centered living. We are living in the 21st century, and that means that not everybody is going to gravitate or even be able to connect into traditional ways of disciple-making, and so we have to think of how else can we connect with people to help shape disciples. The next one is about missions, to focus missions, following Jesus farther and deeper into our community for lasting kingdom impact. And I want you to pay attention to the word focus and to the word lasting kingdom impact. It's all about funneling and really getting serious about targeting missions in such a way that we do things that have long-term sustainable impact. The next one is about worship. To invigorate worship, drawing people to Christ and nurturing followers of Christ. What does it look like for us in the 21st century to offer styles of worship and a variety of styles that connect with different people who have different needs and different time schedules and different ways of wanting to connect with Christ? And how, in all of our worship offerings, do we raise the bar beyond where we already are and do that in a way that is invigorating? And then lastly, and one that really permeates all of the others, is to deepen authentic connections and community as the body of Christ. To realize that being the church is about being in relationship not only with God, but about being in relationship with each other and forming meaningful and authentic relationships where we can be real with each other and where we are welcoming people in real and honest ways. All right. One last thing, and then I've got some friends who are going to come up and spend a few minutes with me talking about this. And that is that as you look at these, I want you to note that all of them are rooted in what has been central to the life of the church from the very beginning. So if you think about that Acts passage, the core of what we are talking about all is tied back to practices that were started in the early church. And we are forward-looking and forward-thinking in how we do that at this point in time, in a 2019 context. Well, I am really grateful that today we have three people who are a part of that vision team who are going to come up and chat with me for a little bit and let you all listen in. So Beth and Erica and Brian, come on up. And so as they come forward, let me just real quickly tell you who these folks are. Beth Haynes, who is actually stepping into the role of being our mission team leader. And then Erica Penley, who has been serving in a variety of ways here at Trinity. She was a children's ministry intern. She traveled with me to Rwanda earlier this year with our connection with Zoe. And then Brian Myers, who, when we got here to Trinity, was at that time serving as the church council leader. And Brian served in a variety of other capacities here. And all three of these folks deeply invested in the life of the church and so grateful for their involvement in the process over these last 16 months. And so I'm going to throw out some questions for them and then give them an opportunity to talk today. And the first question is, you know, as you all think about our time together and the work that we've done and where we are at this point, what excites you about the vision for Trinity? Maybe Brian, if you want to start.
Sure. So, for me, the process was amazing. I'm much more comfortable in a group setting than I am one-on-one. I'm extremely awkward, as most people know. And those interviews were very powerful to see what was happening. One of the things I really heard coming up was this reimagining disciple-making and the excitement that it has that people are hungry, that we're hungry to grow in our faith, we're hungry to grow more about where God is calling each of us to be and what we're supposed to be doing. And as I look back on where we were, we use the word traditional a lot. And for those of you who know my background, I'm an old ag teacher. And we joke about ag teachers, whenever you do something once, that becomes a tradition. and we fall into that. But if you go back and we look at the Bible, that so much of the New Testament is just quoting the Old Testament and bringing those things in. And throughout the entire Bible, God is bringing the Word and growing people in new and exciting ways. And so our tradition really is to be growing and changing the way that we reach out to people provide them a chance to grow in the right way at the right time in what speaks to them. And I think that's what really excites me about that is the opportunity that we have to really live into it, because all of us throughout there, I look at all the folks out there, and each of us have a story about what was that program or that ministry or that event that spoke to us that really got us involved in there. And all, you know, for us it was the walk to Emmaus. For other people it was different ministries through here. And each of those things have a time and a place. And we can't just recreate what worked for us. We have to make sure that we're providing and providing an opportunity for each folk to cohere and to grow. And we owe that to ourselves, and we owe that to those in the church around us to provide them those opportunities and use what's happening now to really reach out there with the gospel. And that's exciting to me.
So I remember not long after that phrase, reimagine disciple-making, was one that we latched on to, your eyes got really big, and I could tell you were thinking about something in particular as one expression of that, and then a couple weeks ago, some of us got together to begin talking about that. Can you share a little bit about just one example of what reimagining disciple-making might look like for us?
Sure. So I'm also an example of what happens when you turn an old ag teacher loose with a computer and internet connection. We do a national podcast for ag teachers. And I just look at the opportunities that we have to reach out with other folks through things like podcasts and using the internet to find ways to connect with folks where they are, when they are, to do that. And it's amazing what we're able to do. And just what we do, we reach 4,000 or 5,000 people a week. If we can do that in the church to really provide folks an opportunity to connect on a daily basis with some part of their growth. And we never know what's going to connect with them, but we have ways to connect with folks, not just in these wonderful facilities that we have, but how do we really go out and reach out to where they are and give them an opportunity to grow where they are, when they are, and what they need when they need it?
So Beth, stepping into the role as missions team leader, but obviously not new to missions. You've been very involved in a variety of missions here. So it's natural that that would be a goal that's exciting. Can you talk a little bit about
I am new to the team. I feel really loud up here. But I'm not, I am not new to missions. I guess my children really introduced me to some forms of missions, like with ASP, and got me excited about that. And I went on ASP for several years. I did a Living Waters trip to Nicaragua, and recently went to Cuba on a Goodwill mission trip, which was very different from the other missions. I have a couple of missions that are really near and dear to my heart, Family Promise and Mommy Reed. Those are both wonderful, ongoing ministries that are right here. You don't have to leave town. Well, you have to leave town to do Mommy Reed. You have to go to Lowell. But that's a prison ministry, and that was a very new experience for me when I started that, and it's fabulous. But from that mission standpoint, I go back to the interviews that we did, and we did hundreds of them, and maybe I sat down with some of you that are out there. I had really wonderful conversations, which accomplished deepening relationships in and of themselves, because we took an hour or so to sit down over coffee or a meal and chat, and people really opened up on those interviews nicely and with great ideas. And as we talked about, what are the things you love about your church right now? You know, they have lots and lots of good things to say because we have a wonderful church. And our church has always been a standout church for mission work and outreach, and I'm proud of that. But it also became clear that a lot of these people have thoughts and ideas about what are some other things we could do. What could we do locally? And the word local kept coming back to me, and I think it did to everybody when you had those questions. Well, let's look at what we can extend to and do in our own city, but in new and exciting ways. So we can't let that scare us or just say, well, that's weird. Why do we want to change what we've been doing? Why fix it if it's not broken? And it's not broken, but everything can always be improved and get new ways to show God's love, to carry it out, to be the hands and feet in big ways and in small ways. So that was what it was exciting to me, was how much they had to say about our mission and what we're doing and what we should continue doing and what we might try that's new. And so I think it's time to, I'm up here to say you can teach an old dog new tricks, because I'm not in the 20 and 30 group, you knew that. So
Really?
So let's not be afraid. I think we have a lot of people that are excited about embracing new directions, and that's new.
So those first three words in that key goal, the focus missions, words that have come out as we've been talking about that, are things like sustainability and empowerment and lasting impact. And you and the missions team are already kind of jumping in and have been reading this book entitled When Helping Hurts. Can you say a little bit about how that kind of ties in with what you're talking about
today? Yeah, I can, because we are just beginning, as other teams are going to dig in and look at, see, how is what we're doing lining up with our new vision statement? Does it do this? Does it do this? And, yes, we are reading this book, When Helping Hurts, and I'll put a plug in for it because there's going to be a video-based study on this book starting in September. It's going to be 6 weeks on Sunday night. So look forward to that. You might come in and know some more about it by taking the class. But it helps us look at where people are, people in need or people in compromised situations. Are they in an area where they need a Band-Aid, if they need relief? Are they where they need to be empowered? Are they need to be where they go on and figure out new ways to do what they're doing? And how are we helping people learn new things and sustain themselves, not just fix it for a minute? Does that make sense?
Yep. Thanks. Yeah. So, Erica, you are somebody who has had the opportunity to really grow up as a child of Trinity. One of the things that I've gotten to know about you is your love for worship, and so was thinking about that, and maybe you could talk a little bit about that particular part of the vision and that goal, and what that says to you as we look at the future?
Yeah. So mentioning that, like, I grew up in Trinity, one thing that I did when I was younger, as some of you know, was in the Advent season, we had the candles and we would be the acolytes for worship. But instead of just, you know, walking down the aisle, normally we danced down the aisle and had these dresses and just got to bring the light of Christ into worship. And that is something that has stuck with me. And something that I'm really excited about in this invigorating worship is very much about the people who are worshiping. And especially here in Trinity, if you all were asked to be acolytes, how would you bring in your light of Christ, and where would you choose to place it? So I think we want to explore the different ways that we can come in to worship. Are we dancing? Are we singing? Are we writing lyrics? Are we composing music? And are we coming to the worship center? Are we going on the lawn? Are we going to the chapel? Are we going to the youth building? Worship can happen anywhere. It's exciting to explore these different ways.
One of the ways we can do that, of course, is by offering different styles, different expressions of worship. And next week we roll out a new worship schedule that includes, at this time, what we're calling a modern worship service. Can you say a little bit about, perhaps especially for next generations, why that's important and what that helps us offer not only the people who are already here, but people in the community.
Yeah. So I think modern worship, I think for a lot of people, different words pop up in their minds. Something like new, unfamiliar, contemporary, and current. And I think, like I said before, worship has a lot to do with the people who are worshiping and what our needs and desires are as one person and as a corporate body. So what are the things that our society really needs to know right now? Do we need our priorities in order? Do we need to grieve? Do we need to know how to love our neighbor? You know, how can interacting in worship answer some of those things? And questions that haven't even been revealed to us yet, I think, are revealed to us in that worship space. So having God as our audience, and being able to be that light. It's not about the one light, you know? It's not about the one worship experience. It's all these different things, and at the end of it, it's about, like, how bright our building is shining.
So let me ask this to all of you, and whoever wants to jump in, feel free. What is a hope that you have?
Have a hope that people will, myself included, learn to step out of our comfort zones and look around us for opportunities and not be afraid to step forward and venture into new territories. Invite people to come worship with us, to come be in mission with us, because there are so many ways to do that. So, yeah, that's...
And that invitational model is so important. That, more than anything else, is the way that we can welcome new people in and keep making those connections and inviting people. I love that. Brian or Erica?
You know, I think for me there are two things. One is that we see this as an opportunity. Not all of us live by the semester, but we're in a college town, and so we're beginning a new academic year, which has that new excitement. I walked across campus on Tuesday of this week and saw all the people around, and that buzz and that excitement happened. I was glad to see them all. Unfortunately, it brought all their cars with them. but, you know, I think we see this as an opportunity to be new, to really grow and to see where what we're doing as individuals and corporately, to really grow and to evaluate and what's that next step for us. Is that kind of a waypoint to really see what's next for us in our lives? And the other thing that excites me about this is to see that through line that goes through all these. There's a lot of action verbs. There's a lot of things that are happening. But when you get down to it, the core is still the same. Mm-hmm. That foundational core
of sharing Christ, of sharing the gospel with others, and having God at that center point is there. That hasn't changed, and that has been consistent since day one, 60-plus years ago of this church. It will continue to be there, and it's still there in this vision statement and strategic plan, but we just may go about it in different ways. We still have, and still recognizing and valuing the past, but accomplishing the same goal in new and exciting ways.
If we think about our mission statement, which is also the mission statement of the whole United Methodist Church, we are about the work of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And the methods may not be the same, but the purpose and where we're focused remains the same. Eric, you got anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that my hope is that, like, overall we illuminate, and I think that it's definitely about our direction and our relationship with Christ, but then also the way that we can spread out to other people. In the vision statement, some words that we used for worship were to draw and to nurture, and those are things that I just really
Awesome. Well, I want to thank the three of you for your participation as a part of the team, and also especially for coming up here and risking being up here on the chance with me. Would you thank them with me for being here with me today? Thank you, guys. So I just want to take us back for a moment to the vision statement, to the overarching statement. And as we close out this time this morning, draw your attention to the beginning of that statement. Because the beginning, what we say at the beginning of something matters, right? How we start matters. And so the very first phrase is to be a courageous witness. You know, as we begin to land on this statement, and as we shared it with key leadership and with staff, I would ask the question, as you look at the whole statement, what stands out to you? And many people kept coming back to that phrase, courageous witness. That is who we are, friends. In Scripture, we hear time and time again, do not be afraid. And we hear, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. And so my hope is that as we seek to pursue these goals that you've heard Beth and Brian and Erica talk about today, and as we pursue living into this vision, that we will be courageous, that we will be willing to really listen to wherever it is that God is leading us, and even if it means risking all that we are and all that we have, that we would do it for the sake of the kingdom of heaven that is coming here on earth as it is in heaven. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your presence with us always, for the ways you have been present in the life of this church from 1959 to now, and for the ways that you promise to be with us as we go out into the future. Your Spirit will guide us if we will simply let you. And so may that be so. In Christ's name we pray.
That I've been thinking about as I prepared to come and share this table with you today, to be a courageous witness. Our vision is so exciting. I hope that you're excited about it too. And when I hear the call, the invitation to be a courageous witness, it's invigorating, it's inspiring, it motivates me. But it's also a little intimidating, maybe even a little scary at times to think about what that might look like for us to commit together as individuals and as a body to be a courageous witness for Jesus Christ and to live it out in the many ways that we have opportunity to through the ministries of Trinity. And yet we remember, and maybe especially as we gather at this table, that we never do that alone. that Christ lived a life here on earth, knows our experiences intimately, and sacrificed himself so that we might live not by our own worthiness, but through his grace. As we gather at the table, we not only remember, but we participate in that night years ago, centuries ago. When Jesus gathered with his disciples at the table, and he took a loaf of bread, and he broke it, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper, he took a cup of wine from the table and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant that I pour out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? But God, as we look ahead, as we seek your wisdom and your guidance, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here, and pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and so that they might be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be for you and for one another the body of Christ, formed by the Holy Spirit and redeemed by Christ's blood. Nourish us, God, with your grace. If you're helping to serve communion, I invite you to come forward at this time. You to come to the table. I wanted to share briefly how you might do that, and simply you can exit from the left side of your section and come forward. There'll be a pair of folks in front of every section happy to serve communion to you. They'll do that by, if you'll simply hold out your hands, they'll place a piece of bread in them and you can take them, dip it into the cup, and then receive it. There are kneeling rails up front if you would like to come and spend a moment of prayer up here, or you can return to your seat. I invite you to take some time to reflect on the incredible gift. If you would like gluten-free, that option is available, and you can simply come to either of the farthest sides of the front sections, and that will be for you. And I do want to tell you also that that you are welcome here, and you are welcome at this table. In the United Methodist Church and here at Trinity, we believe that this is not our table, but is in fact God's table, which means you don't have to be a member here at Trinity or of any church. We only ask that you come with open hearts and minds, a willingness to receive through the bread and cup the incredible love and grace of Jesus Christ. The table is prepared, my friends. Would you come?
Walking around these walls,
God, we give you thanks for the incredible gift that you give us, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the ongoing gift of the work of grace in our lives that moves us ever forward to your kingdom. Help us to be nourished by your grace. Amen.
And join us in singing our last song, You Are My Vision. It should sound pretty familiar for you old hen lovers, but it's going to be a little fun. So here we go.
Couple of things as you go out today. There are a couple of display tables outside for missions, one specifically related to faith mission. And then also there are some items that our boys over at the Faith Mission campus, leaders overcoming through faith, made that are available for auction. So you can put your bid in for a cornhole game or for a picnic table. So those are outside. Also, letters. Remember that we'd love for you to pick up a letter and write a note, insert $5 to share with teachers both here at Talbot and over at Rawlings. And in just a little while, I'm not sure even exactly what time they're showing up, but in just a little while we've got food trucks showing up, so you can hang out and enjoy some time together here as well. All right, go out filled with the love of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be a courageous witness for Jesus Christ, doing all the good you can until we see